Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
We are now officially in a brand new era for the Big 12 Conference. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. Thanks for being here as we cover the Big 12. And we now can officially say welcome in to Utah, to Colorado, to Arizona, and yes, to Arizona State. Great to have you guys here. Apologies for the late start if you are a live streamer. That's just because of some technical issues. So if my microphone is getting weak at any point, please let me know. Just some tech issues we've been working through before we got the show started. But this is a great time to be a Big 12 fan. It is so exciting to be thinking about this league and what the future holds. For a second straight year, the Big 12 is adding four schools. And when you look at where the conference is today compared to where it was certainly 3 years ago, when we found out that OU and Texas were bailing, to 2 years ago, when there was this new commissioner named Brett Yormark, and it's like, what are we going to do? We've got these four new schools coming in. Of course, that was done under Bob Bowlesby with UCF and Houston and Cincinnati and BYU. But what was next? Where was this all going to go from here? It was still not a done deal 2 years ago that the Big 12 was going to survive. Never mind thrive. And that's exactly where the Big 12 is today. And a lot of that is credit to the Big 12 commissioner, Brett Yormark, who has done a whale of a job in 2+ years on the job. And that's one of my top takeaways for how we got to where we got today. Of course, it became official over the weekend, technically was last Friday, that the four corners are now members of the Big 12. And one of the biggest reasons we've got this conference, we've got it today, which is the third of the Power 3 conferences or Power 4 conferences, is because of Brett Yormark and his vision and his attitude, and a guy who had no interest in being a part of the old boys club and just came in and said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make this one of the best college sports conferences in America. And he was aggressive against the Pac-12 when others would not have been as aggressive. Others would have sat back and they would have said, you know what? We all like each other here. We want to see the Pac-12 survive. Yormark said no. It's a dog-eat-dog world. You're either going to get eaten or you're going to eat somebody. And Brett Yormark did not sit back, which has been the Big 12's really mantra for the better part of 30 years. And instead, he said, no, I'm going for it here. I'm going for the jugular. And he cut George Kliavkov in line 2 years ago for a TV deal. Part of that is George Kliavkov, the former Pac-12 commissioner, just having his head so far up his own rear end, he didn't know a good deal from a bad deal if it hit him between the eyes. So Yormark had that going for him. He gets his TV deal done. The Pac-12 is flailing. And the four corners say, fine, we're out. This thing is collapsing fast. We're going to the Big 12. And now, as you can see on the wall behind me, the new four Big 12 schools have been added if you are a viewer of the show. And by the way, just real quick on a sidebar here, I think I'm going to redo it where everyone's going to have the same size backdrop on the show, because I can't, you know, with these conferences changing so quickly, I can't keep adding to this wall. At some point, everyone can't get a banner on the wall. So I've got to mix things up here, and I think I'm going to do some things that are going to make this more equitable. I hate the word equitable, but in this case, I think it's an appropriate phrase to use. All right. So with that being said, when you look at how we got here today to what has become one of the most thrilling conferences, and I think what will be the most thrilling conference in America, maybe not the most top heavy, maybe not the best, but the most thrilling conference in America, a lot of it all ties back to the Big 12 commissioner, Brett Yormark, and the job he's done, the vision he's had the last couple of years. And yes, the screw-ups. When you look at George Kliavkov in the Pac-12, when you look at the ACC potentially being on the verge of implosion, the Big 12 not there. It doesn't have a blue blood. I understand it. But it has stability. And if you are a longtime Big 12 fan, then you know what? For many of the times, many of the years that you've been following this conference, stability has not defined it. It finally does. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Thanks for being here. Apologies for the late start on the live stream. It is what it is. We had some audio tech issues. So if things are sounding fine, let me know. Just pop a comment if you don't mind on YouTube. We appreciate that. That way you're hearing me loud and clear, because I thought I was having some issues. I wasn't totally sure. So just drop me a comment if you could right now. That way I know that you're catching the show, everything's sounding good, and there are no issues as we move forward. Now, when I think about the top takeaways as we move through this show, and by the way, hit that thumbs up below the video on YouTube. We appreciate you doing that. And, of course, subscribe on the podcast. When I think about the top takeaways in this new world order of 16 teams in the Big 12, I think about the reunion with Colorado. Everybody is looking at Colorado and thinking about Deion Sanders. Everybody is looking at this and saying, well, Coach Prime. I'm here to say I'm excited about Colorado because it brings them back to the conference. Colorado should have never left. Colorado's mistake was leaving the Big 12 to begin with. But I get it. You go back to that time 12, 13 years ago. And if you were covering or following college football then, money was Big 12's not going to make it. And Colorado looked at themselves and said, we have no partner here. You know, KU had K-State. Texas had Texas Tech. Or I should say Texas Tech had Texas. The Oklahoma schools were together. Colorado was on an island. And Colorado thought, this thing's going to collapse. We are not going to be on a sinking ship. Let's go west. Well, they went west, and it hasn't worked out. But now they're back in the conference they belong in. And all the hype's around Deion Sanders, and I get that. But if you're an old school Big 12 fan, ask any old school Big 12 fan, and they will tell you that one of the great road trips in the old Big 12 was going to Boulder. You know, first off, Colorado had some good teams in the old Big 12 days. You go back to the Rick Neuheisel years, the Gary Barnett years, there was success in Boulder. And it's always been a great college town. It's always been a welcoming college town. And it was a place that Big 12 fans loved to go. It was really the only place in the Big 12 at that point where you would see mountains, right? So you had that going for you. It was a great travel trip. So everybody loved it. And now they're home. Now they're back. So in an era in college football where there's all these new rivalries that have to start up, when everybody's trying to like figure out who their new rival is going to be, bringing a team back into a league where it didn't have, you know, diehard rivals per se, but the old Big 12 North, you know, part of that band is back together. Colorado with K-State, with KU, with Iowa State. All you're missing is Missouri and Nebraska, and you've got the old Big 12 North. So for those teams in particular, it's going to feel familiar. And even for the Baylors, you know, even for the Texas Techs, the Oklahoma States, there's familiarity there to many of the fans. Maybe the fans over probably 35, I would say, 30, but they're there. And that's worth something. And that matters in a time when all the old rivalries and all the old conferences are just being blown up. So, yes, I'm excited for Deion Sanders. But I'm just as excited, if not more excited, for just having the Colorado brand back, because there's longevity there. I don't know what Deion Sanders' future is. I have no idea. I know the fan base thinks he's going to retire at Colorado, I'm not putting my money on that. If you believe that, I've got beachfront property in Salina, Kansas for you. But I'm just glad that they're back overall. Now, when I think about other top takeaways here as we get ready for this new world in the Big 12, there is no blue blood. But is one of these new Big 12 teams in football a 20th century blue blood? One of the dumbest conversations that goes on in all of college football, driven by college football media, is the term blue blood. Ask college football media. They'll tell you Nebraska's a blue blood. I don't think they are. Nebraska's been irrelevant since it left the Big 12. Is Penn State a blue blood? I don't think they are. Has Texas been a blue blood for the last 15 years? No. Great. Last year was good. No doubt about it. Have they lived up to the branding of Texas over the last 15 years? Absolutely freaking not. Is Miami a blue blood? Been 20 years since they've been a really, you know, national title contenders. So my point is, we use that term blue blood because teams were good 30, 40, 50 years ago. They were consistent national title contenders a half a century ago, and we still call them blue bloods. Notre Dame's a very good program, no doubt about it. It's a top 15 program in America. Is it a blue blood? I would argue it's not. So I bring that up because I wonder if Utah is going to become that blue blood in the Big 12 Conference. I wonder if Utah is that program and that team that, you know, when you're looking to find that premier brand, you're looking to find that premier product now in this league. It can be anybody. But Utah is as well positioned as any of them to be that Big 12 blue blood. You look at what Kyle Whittingham has done 20 years on the job. The succession plan's already in place. And you look at the success on the field. It's only gotten better, by the way, the last 5 to 10 years. But they won 5 conference championships the last 20 years, going back to the Urban Meyer days, 3 under Kyle Whittingham, another 3 Pac-12 South Division titles. And no, there's not a national championship to speak of, but they finished ranked in the top 25 9 times this century, and 5 times in the past decade. So Utah enters this conference this year with a legitimate chance to win it. All right? There's no doubt about it. A legitimate chance to win the Big 12. And if they get this thing rolling, and if they become the premier team to beat year in, year out, we won't know for 5 to 10 years, but if they become that, it would not surprise me one bit. I mean, if I had to pick a couple of programs that are most likely to be positioned like that, it would be Utah and it would be Oklahoma State. And I would be open to throwing Kansas State in there as well, just because I think so highly of Chris Klieman and, you know, the legacy that Bill Snyder left him and how Klieman has only built off of that. Those guys can absolutely do it. If I had to place bets on them, that's where I would place those bets. But there's a lot that remains to be seen in terms of what this all looks like and how this plays out going forward. So if you are a Utah fan, you should be cautiously confident. Don't be cocky, because I do think the 4 new schools fan bases generally have a misconception of what the Big 12 is. Some fan bases still think this is 2014 and Art Briles is slinging the ball around 75 times a game. That's not what's going on here. These teams can play you in the trenches. Now, Utah may have, of course, as they've had for a long time, the best D-line. They may have the best defense in the Big 12. They've got some questions on the O-line. So I don't know if they're the best in the trenches, but they should be right up there. But there's still a lot that is going to determine whether or not they end up being the team to beat in the Big 12. But they can be there, especially the 4 new schools. They're the ones that you look at and you say, okay, for the next 5 to 10 years, if I'm looking at...
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
This thing and saying who's going to be the preeminent, got to beat them every year to win the Big 12, it is going to be the Utah Utes. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at on that. Now, for the final two new Big 12 schools, the Arizona schools. The Arizona schools and untapped potential. That's what I think about with these two schools as it relates to football in particular. Arizona basketball is a great national brand, although they, you know, bomb out in the tournament every year, it seems like. But when I think about Arizona and when I think about Arizona State, I think about incredible untapped potential. Two schools with massive undergraduate enrollments in a desirable, fast-growing state with a solid recruiting base in its backyard, not just Phoenix as the biggest, of course, you know, metropolitan area in the state, but they're a stone's throw from Los Angeles, for crying out loud, where there's a ton of talent. You telling me those young kids? I mean, sure, I guess many of them probably want to go to USC and UCLA first, although UCLA is a dud. And even USC, I think, is overrated. You can go to a great place like Tucson, Arizona. You can go to Tempe. These are programs that have not reached their potential consistently. They've had success here and there. We know what Arizona did last year. But I'm talking about sustained success. Neither program has really had it in any kind of, you know, meaningful modern period of time. So you've got to now figure out, is the Big 12 the place to do it? And I think it can be for both of these schools. I think the Big 12 is going to up the games of Arizona and Arizona State. Culturally, I think they're both better fits in the Big 12 than they were in the Pac-12. Now, they might be scared off by some of the road trips, and I get that. But culturally, I think these two schools are going to love being in this conference. I think their fans are going to love Big 12 fans. Gone are the days of having to deal with Stanford and Cal. You go on the road, there's seven people in the stands. There's no fear of the opposing fan base showing up and taking over your stadium. In the Big 12, there are possibilities with multiple fan bases that can happen. So not only will the programs up their games, I think the fan bases will up their games. And that's going to make this thrilling. If you're a fan of this conference and you're looking at the future and where this all leads to, it is going to be so much fun to follow. And I just think that you've got two schools that could be sleeping giants in Arizona and Arizona State, and I'm excited for them. Although I will say, somebody asked me this the other day on social media. Arizona State fans, where are you? We'd love to hear from you on the Heartland College Sports Forums, which if you have not signed up, I hope you will sign up soon. It's free to sign up. Just check it out wherever you get your, just go to the website, sign up for the forums. It's free. We're not looking for anything. It's just a great way to interact with other Big 12 fans. I have not seen a lot of Arizona State fans anywhere, including our forums. So check us out. Go say hi. We got a lot of cool things happening, by the way, on the forums, including a great thread where fans who are really in the know and some insiders with different programs are giving you inside looks at camps and what their teams are doing in camps. So that way you can stack them up against your own team. And once again, this is all free content on our forum. So go sign up and check us out there and say hi. And we'll be talking about, you know, tailgates we'll be doing and things like that as the season rolls along. So those are my top takeaways as we get set for the Four Corners, who are now officially in the Big 12. It became official on Friday, August 2nd. And we're here talking about it with you this week on Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Hit that thumbs up right below the video on YouTube. Subscribe on the podcast. We don't ask you for anything. We don't charge you for anything on this show. We just ask you to help us out. That way we keep growing, and that way the show continues to have a lot of success. So here we go. Some of your comments. Mr. Monkey, UCF is the Big 12 potential national championship contender in 5 to 10 years. Yes, UCF can be in that group. I was close to putting them in there. I just got to see Gus Malzahn make that jump this year. If they can't make that jump this year, then I can't be convinced that they are year in, year out, team to beat, Big 12 contenders. I can't get there because the schedule sets up great for them this year. Malzahn's got the quarterback that he wants, that he likes in KJ Jefferson. They have tremendous talent. They've recruited better than just about anybody in the Big 12 over the last couple of years, and it's only getting better down there in Orlando. So they are set up for success. There's no doubt about it. But now I've got to see Gus Malzahn do it to say I'm predicting them to be in the mix for, you know, year in, year out Big 12 contention. But heck, half the conference can feel like that right now. If you were to ask half the fan bases in this conference, hey, can your team be that team to beat in the Big 12 for the next 5 to 10 years? They would say, sure, why not? I mean, seriously, go down the list. Arizona should feel that way. Arizona State, no. Baylor, they've won a Big 12 title as of 3 years ago, but, you know, Dave Aranda's got to prove it again. BYU, questions there. Cincinnati, questions there. Colorado, eh. Houston, love Willie Fritz, got to see it first. Matt Campbell, Iowa State, their fan base saying, hey, don't forget about us, fairly. Lance Leipold, KU, why not us? We mentioned Chris Klieman. We mentioned Mike Gundy. TCU was in a national championship 2 years ago. Let's not forget about Sonny Dykes. I think he likes being overlooked. But why not TCU in the most fertile recruiting ground in the country in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, or at least one of them? Joey McGuire out in West Texas. Can he get that baby humming? Why not the Red Raiders? We mentioned UCF. We mentioned Utah. And then there's West Virginia. You know, I said this on, I think it was X. Might have been on X. Could have been on Instagram. I think it was on X. You should follow us, by the way, in both places at Heartland College Sports. The team that most Big 12 fans do not appreciate, who, if this team was good, would dramatically change the perception of the Big 12, is the West Virginia Mountaineers. They are the program that, if they were nationally relevant year in, year out, most Big 12 fans don't understand, I believe, how enormous that would be for the conference based on the history for that program, based on the fact that, you know, when they had in the old Pat White days, the old Big East days, that was one of the hottest brands and the most intriguing brands in college football, and ESPN loved them. The Steve Slayton era, ESPN loved them. When Morgantown is rocking, when that program is on fire, there's very few programs in the Big 12 from a national interest perspective that can match it. And because West Virginia has not really been that program in the Big 12, I don't think most Big 12 fans really appreciate what a great West Virginia football program could mean for this conference. It would be tremendous. And, you know, because we saw a couple of good years with Dana Holgorsen, what, maybe 2017 with Will Greer and that team. Outside of that, it really hasn't been all that impressive of a run. But I'm telling you, they would turn things around if they turn things around. And last year, hopefully for them, is a step in the right direction with Neil Brown. Man, the Mountaineers, that's a program right there that should not be overlooked from what it can mean from a national conversation perspective for the Big 12 Conference. I'm Pete Mundo. We are Heartland College Sports. We appreciate you guys being here and joining us as always, as a part of the show, hit that thumbs up, subscribe, and you know, want to get some of your comments. Excuse me. Pete, love the background. No more Texas. Love it. You know, I'm thinking about, you guys tell me, I've still got the horns down sign here. I'm just thinking about bringing it back and just having a permanent horns down sign on the wall. I'm willing to get your feedback, you know, YouTube, podcast, leave me a rating review and drop that in there. Let me know what you think. But I am debating that because, I don't know, I'm sitting here with this dopey horns down sign. I haven't gotten rid of it yet. And I'm just like, yeah, maybe I just leave it up forever. I don't know. No doubt about that. Pete, if Coach Prime can get Colorado to walk the talk on the field, there would be no team that could get more eyes on the conference. Okay, yes. Short term, I agree. But here's my question for you. And just answer it honestly to yourself. Think about it here. If Deion Sanders makes Colorado nationally relevant, I'm talking playoff conversation, how long do you think he's in Boulder for? If Colorado spends 2, 3, 4 years in the mix for a college football playoff appearance, you think Deion's staying? Do you think he's going to the SEC? Do you think he's going to the Dallas Cowboys? Come on now. You know the answer and I know the answer. And I love the Colorado fans on our forums who are very enthusiastic and insistent that Deion is there for the long haul. I'm sorry. I've got to see it to believe it. Don't take it personally. I just have to see it to believe it. So, yes, Deion in the short term could get the most eyeballs on the Big 12 of any Big 12 team. But when I talk 5 to 10 years and stacking up season after season after season of national relevance, if Colorado does that, I don't think Deion stays. And then without Deion running the show, what does Colorado football look like? Is it the awful 1-11 program it was 2 years ago, or can they sustain it in a post-Deion world? I hope they can. I want Colorado to be good. It's good for the Big 12. But that's a legitimate question to ask moving forward. So that's where I'm at on the Colorado thing. Yes, this year, next year, however long's Deion's there, if they're nationally relevant, they get the most eyeballs. But you know, 5 to 10 years, if they're having that kind of success, I'm not sure Deion's there for 5 to 10 years. Now, okay, why do people think Deion Sanders is going to jump Colorado? I don't know. I mean, just prove it to me. It's not that I don't think he likes Colorado. I think he does. Do I think Colorado has ever been Deion Sanders' dream job? No. Come on now. No way. It hasn't been. Maybe it turns into it, but man, if they have that kind of success, he is going to have everybody in the sport of college football and the NFL falling over him. And I know he says he has no interest in the NFL, but money talks. And if Jerry Jones drops the bag on him, you don't think he's going to the Dallas Cowboys? I mean, I'm just saying, this may be years down the road, but come on now. I just want to see it to believe it with Deion. And I don't think that's an unreasonable ask by any stretch of the imagination at all. All right. So there we go. I'm Pete Mundo. Thank you guys for being here back in the studios this week. So we've got a lot more coming your way. The Big 12 football season is less than a month away. So make sure you're subscribed. Leave a rating and a review on the podcast. We so appreciate you doing that. The podcast has always been our OGs, our bread and butter. Thank you guys on iTunes and on Spotify. And of course on YouTube, hit that thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. That way you never miss a show. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon and go Big 12.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMePeople, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.